Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Colossians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, titled The New Moon and the Sabbath Days. This is part 2 of 2.
And it continues and says in the end of verse 29, Abide ye every man in his place, let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. And so verse 30, so the people rested on the seventh day. And there are, we could show you repetition after repetition. I go on one other place because we went to Leviticus 23. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the third book. Easy to find. And we went to Leviticus 23 for our study of the feasts. And I'll say this, in our study of the feast, one of the things we emphasize is a lot of the stuff you'll see or read or hear when you listen to modern teachers teach about the Feast of Israel is hogwash. They add all this unbiblical stuff, no disrespect intended, but I really don't care what the Jewish elders think. I don't care what the Talmud says. I don't care what, you know, they added an egg and have a seat for Elijah at the Passover. Not according to the Bible. I don't need to know all that. That's what caused them to crucify Jesus in the first place, was adding stuff to the Word of God. And yet you go study the feast in a Christian church and they'll talk about all this stuff as though it's applicable. It's not. So we went to Leviticus 23. We just read what it said. Isn't that amazing? To think that Christians would just go to the Bible. We believe the Bible is the Word of God. It's our final authority. Nothing added, nothing taken away. Oh, by the way, Rabbi so-and-so said. I don't care. What's the Bible say? Leviticus 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. So we care about this. Amen? Verse 2. Read verses 2 and 3 with me. Speak unto the children of Israel. Wait a minute. Who do you say? Israel. Okay, let's keep going. And say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. That was not said to any Canaanites. It was not said to the angel Moroni. It was not said to anybody other than the Jews, Israel. Sabbath belongs to Israel, period. We could stop there, but I want to continue. After the Acts transition, there is no mention of a Sabbath except here back in Colossians chapter 2. Go back to your text, Colossians chapter 2. The book of Acts is a book of history. Amen. And when you read through the book of Acts, you are reading of how God got us from Mosaic law to this dispensation of the gospel of grace. Amen. It's the whole point. And if you read Acts, keeping that in mind, it'll finally make sense to you.
Amen.
If you go in there trying to find the church and church doctrine and all that, it's confusing.
Amen.
Why? Because it was a transition. But by the time after time, Paul would go into a synagogue on the Sabbath and declare Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things the Sabbatarians will say, well, look, that's not the church. He was going in to try to reach a bunch of unsaved Jews in the synagogue on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Then he'd go the next day to a church and he would report on what happened at the synagogue on Sabbath.
Amen.
But the church met on the first day of the week.
Amen.
And over and over he said, you won't hear it, we go to the Gentiles. One city after another. You won't hear it, we go to the Gentiles. And by the time you come down to the end of the book of Acts, he says, this is now all about a Gentile bride with a remnant of Jews. You go, what?
Acts 28:28.
Then you go into Romans and you see exactly that. That the Jews and Israel have been broken off, but for a remnant according to grace, and the Gentiles grafted in. That's what the whole book of Acts is about. And after that transition, you know your books in your Bible? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then what? And then 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. You start reading there from the end of Acts, Romans chapter 1, where we're studying Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. You start there. And you go all the way to the end of the Bible. You only find Sabbaths right here. And you're told, let no man therefore judge you. in respect to the Sabbath days. Did you know that? We got a church right down the road here, just a few blocks from us, Seventh-day Adventist. You would think that the Sabbath is on every other page of the New Testament. They have church on Saturday. Do you know some of the more extreme groups in the Seventh-day Adventists actually teach that right now we have the mark of the beast?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Yeah,
having church on Sunday, according to the extreme Seventh-day Adventists, is the mark of the beast.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's, and how do they get there? Well, they first of all, what?
Kool-Aid.
They don't. First of all, they ignore just take a step back. There's no mention of anywhere anybody being told to keep the Sabbath in any New Testament epistle. Wouldn't that kind of right there throw up a red flag about the Sabbath?
Amen.
And then they don't rightly divide. They ignore the context. And additionally, look over at Romans 13. I think it's the right way. Romans 13. In addition to all that, Paul lists law. We're supposed to go live by the Spirit, and that Spirit will lead you to actually be a law keeper. You don't keep the law in the flesh. You don't have a list and keep the law, but the fact you have the Holy Spirit working in you, you keep the law. And so you go to Romans 13, beginning in verse 9. He lists the laws that a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit ought to be keeping. And he says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt keep the Sabbath. Some of you are paying attention. That's not what it says. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. You will never convince me, or anyone I think with common sense, anybody really under the influence of the Spirit of God, that Sabbath is for us now, and Paul didn't put it in that list. If Sabbath was for us, it would be mentioned more than once. And in that one time, it wouldn't be telling you not to let people judge you. And it would be listed at least a second time right there.
Amen.
And to think that denomination, Seventh-day Adventist, caused division.
Yep.
They are the source of division and discord. Teaching false doctrine, holding us to an unbiblical standard and doctrine. Paul says this in Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Now I know most Christians today think they can pick and choose what they want to obey in the Bible. You go right ahead. But I'm obeying that. I want nothing to do with that cult.
Amen.
They are a source of division. And you get down to it, they teach a work salvation. And you can lose your salvation and all that. I have no hatred for them. And if they would repent and recant and come back to the Bible, welcome them with open arms.
Amen.
But I'm not going to ignore the Scripture.
Amen.
So here's the other thing. After the rapture, the Sabbath will be reinstituted for Daniel 70 of the week and the millennium. So again, most heresies you'll find are truths misapplied to the wrong dispensation.
Amen.
That's what most... They're right about the Sabbath. They're in the wrong dispensation.
Amen.
It's like the Pope. The Pope wants to be infallible. He needs to get saved and be with us in the millennium.
Amen. Amen.
Right now, the Pope is fallible.
Amen. Yep. Amen.
And this one's a communist.
Yep.
Daniel 70th week, just for an example. The Sabbath during Daniel 70th week. Matthew 24:20, Jesus is talking about the tribulation. He says, but pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the what? So during the tribulation, there will be Sabbath observance. And they're going to be in trouble if they have to take flight on the Sabbath day. I believe by God's providence that will not happen. when they run and flee to Petra. Another study for another time. During the millennium, just one reference to what's going to happen during the millennium. In Isaiah 66:22, "For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." That's talking about Israel. Verse 23, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon," there's the new moons again, "to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord." You want to set your calendar if you want to go ahead and get a head start on the millennium. When you're in your smartphone and you open your calendar, for find all the new moon dates and then all the Sabbaths. And you'll find, if you want to see people come and worship Jesus Christ as He sits on His throne in the flesh, those are the days to be there. Right there. Show up at the new moon and Sabbath during the millennium. You will see the mortals, those who are still living on earth and not glorified, worshiping Jesus. I mean, we worship Jesus and it's wonderful, but wouldn't it be wonderful to have Him sitting here? And to be able to just, instead of, I'm not complaining, Lord, you know that, but instead of just spirit and truth in the flesh, glorified flesh. Of course, we have to be glorified or we'd all drop dead. So that's why God doesn't do that. But there's coming a day, amen? Coming a day. So the Sabbath does not belong to the church. The Sabbath belongs to Israel. Say that with me. The Sabbath does not belong to the church. The Sabbath belongs to Israel. It really is that central. But before we move on, the Sunday Sabbath. If you open up your, I think, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, a bunch of the mainline denominations, you open up their doctrinal statement and they will tell you that the Sabbath is on Sunday now. Nowhere in Scripture is Sunday called Sabbath. Most of those same groups have replaced circumcision of males with sprinkling all babies of all ages and calling it baptism. And that's, I don't know if I said much more about that, because it's just, whether it's a Sunday Sabbath or the Saturday Sabbath, listen folks, don't allow anybody to put you under judgment. And in addition, I believe you should be ready to defend what you believe and to help others so they don't fall in that same error. Amen. It really comes down to replacement theology and legalism. Yep. Right. Every attempt to judge you regarding these things that we've studied in our last two studies is a veiled attempt to replace Israel with the church.
Yeah.
And to control you.
That's right. Yep.
That's what it's all about.
Yep.
And you'll find most things when it comes to all this stuff going on in the world today about what words you're allowed to say and what words you're not allowed to say these days. Yeah. It's not that they don't really care about that. It's control.
Yeah.
It's all about controlling you. Yeah. You will say what I tell you to say. You will not say what I tell you not to say. And all this about bakers making cakes and photographers having to do so-called gay weddings and all that stuff. They know they can find a just as good a photographer, cake baker. It's about control. It's all the same spirit behind all of it. So back to the original point. We're going to close with this in verse 16. He says, "Let no man therefore judge you in," and then he lists these things. The question, when the text is so clear, how do so many cults still judge others in these matters? That's a question that really came to my mind the first time I considered these things, and we're going to see in our next study that what they do is they delete one two-letter word in order to pervert this text. And we're going to come back to that in our next study. But that again draws us back to the reality that as your pastor, I don't know your heart and your mind. I don't know your level of maturity and your birth certificate and the date on there and how many birthdays you've had since you were born has nothing to do with this. No matter how old you are, how young you are, it's not about physical age, it's about spiritual maturity. And you must mature. You must grow up to the point where you realize, just like, man, you know, I used to think my dad would go off to work. I thought, he's so lucky. And then I was about 6 years old and he'd be cutting the grass. I can't wait till I can cut the grass. Yeah. Well, then suddenly I'm about 12 years old, maybe 11, somewhere in there, and suddenly I was allowed to cut the grass. That first time was so awesome. And then after that, I hated it. And then I didn't want to. And then there was always some reason why I couldn't. I don't feel good. We're low on gas. I can't get it started. There's always something. And you know, Dad never had to deal with the gas or anything. All he had to do is pull out his leather belt and hold it. And suddenly, the mower was fixed. But then you get a little older, and some of once you buy a house, I know Brother Stephen has found this out. In recent, last, how long you lived in that house now?
About, May.
Yeah, since May. And any of you, when you move into your own home, it's no longer the landlord doing everything.
Yeah.
You got to cut that grass. You got to clean house once in a while. You know? That's a part of growing up. Not the funnest things in the world to do, right? But you do them. Why? Because you're an adult. Well, that's the way it is growing up as a Christian. It may not be the most exciting study to do what we're in the last couple of weeks studying these things. It may not be something that you would put at the top of your list. But see, that's the problem we have. We have a lot of Christians. Some people are all into the miraculous. They just want to go to a church where everything's miraculous. I mean, it's not really, but they pretend. And it's all real, you know, emotional. And the music gets loud. And the drum beat and everybody gets excited. Whoa, we're having church now. Yeah, glory is having a good time. Yeah. I have a friend who wrote me this week and said that she had family members come to her church. And she goes to a church that's kind of wild like that. And the preacher, while he's up there preaching, he's saying, and glory to God, I'm here to tell you, and if you get saved, your life will be another. You know, after it was over with, one of them looked at him and said, what was wrong with him? And the other ones looked at him and said, did he have the hiccups? But to some people, you ain't preaching if you don't do that.
Yeah.
Screaming, yelling for no reason. And I'm not chewing you out. It's hilarious. But isn't it also sad? I mean, how many people do you know who go to church week in, week out, learn absolutely nothing about God's Word? How sad is that? And I'll boast for a minute. You can come at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, and you're going to learn the Word. Some of you show up at 9:30. You will learn the Word.
Amen.
And it doesn't... You open this Bible, and it's an amazing thing when you go verse by verse, and people start to learn. Next thing you know, you start to see the growth. It's like we hate to see our kids grow up in one sense. We love the little baby. But then the other sense, when we see them do something that's a little mature, like potty training... Celebrate good time, you know. We like to see babies mature, especially when it comes to things like no longer needing diapers changed.
And learning how to cut the grass.
Yeah, and learning how to cut the grass. Next year, Gloria will be cutting the grass. As a pastor, that's what I want for everybody here. We have folks online listening. Some of them go to churches like that.
Yeah.
They don't get anything from the Word. We're glad to be here and help. We're glad that you can tune in all 50 states and all around the world. If you got an internet connection, and you can be taught the Word of God. And that's what excites the pastor, who's really a God-called preacher.
Amen.
And so I can tell you, I get excited when I see that kind of growth. I get excited when I see people who realize it's not just about the, you know, every week supposed to be Bible prophecy. You know, the Lord's coming soon. I've got, you know, I'm going to give you 5 reasons why the Lord's going to come by the end of the year, you know. And even though we know that the Bible doesn't actually say that, they just like the excitement. And so they get caught up in it. And so think about, as we close our study today, what you heard today, and understand that what we're trying to do is equip you so you can be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You will go out that door and something's going to challenge your faith. Or you're just going to have an opportunity to be a witness, and if you haven't prepared ahead of time, you will fail. And it will not be God's fault. It'll be yours for not being a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? Let's turn to 496 and sing about the victory we have in Jesus. And we don't have to follow all these, this handwriting of ordinances that he nailed to his cross. 496, you can stand if you're able. Sing it like you mean it.
I heard an old, old story, how our Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me.
He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love. time today. Just so thankful for this local fellowship of believers.
Amen.
Thankful for everyone who was able to make it. Pray for those who couldn't. Missed out on a lot of good fellowship, Bible study, singing, prayer, so much. Such a blessing. And I just ask you to bless each one with traveling mercies on the way home and a good week, working as unto the Lord all week long, pleasing in your sight, glorifying Jesus, and telling others when we have the opportunity how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Calling on all men to repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. We just love you, Lord, and give you all these praises that we've sang and all the praise during our prayer time. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I'm not close to those. Oh, sorry.
Solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.